morning. Good morning, man. That was a super hype. I wish that we were like on 11 to drop that beat right there so that everybody could enjoy that drop together, because that was hype. Thanks, guys, for doing that. As the slide said, my name is Marty Cotter. Hyped to be with here with everybody today. I wasn't here last week, and I found myself like missing my church family. And it was like one Sunday. What's the big deal? It's just one Sunday. But it really was, like, as I was going through prayer requests and things that people were putting on their blue cards, I was like, man, I just really missed my church family this week, and it's so good to be with you here this morning. That's some of the good stuff for this morning. Today, I promise that I'll do my best on some of this, but there's some hard stuff that we're going to talk about today, and we'll probably leave, you know, maybe not feeling the most hyped as we did with that song right there as we go through that. But before we get too deep into the scripture today, I just wanted to share a little story with y'all. Many of you, if I don't know you, maybe if your kiddos, my oldest is a 23-year-old. She's great. Her name's Kaylee. She lives over in Illinois where she serves at a church with students and that, and she's just been a blessing on our lives. But Christy and I, we had Kaylee when we were still in high school. So a little bit of a rocky start, got some things out of order. And, you know, believe it or not, when I was 17, 18 years old, being a girl dad maybe wasn't my, like, in my realm of skills, right? I wasn't that great at that. And the story that I wanted to share with you is Kaylee, she would want to have a tea party, right? She'd, like, set up the tea party and all that. And I'm like, you know, tea party, right? And an 18-year-old brain doesn't see tea parties the same way dad today might see a tea party. So I'd go down there and I'd go, oh yeah, let's play tea party, and blow the thing up and be like, let's wrestle. And I thought, because she was giggling and laughing, that I was being a great dad and everything was fine. And meanwhile, Mrs. Cotter's over on the side, maybe not feeling so great about that, right? Like, I don't know. Do any of you guys remember the TV show Full House? Anybody remember that? So like Danny Tanner and Uncle Jesse and all those people. Well, look, that would be when Christy, again, meathead dad, when Christy might tell me like, hey, your daughter probably really wants you to have a tea party with her and not just be this roughhousing all the time. I heard her and just went to that old sitcom where I'm like, hey, look, I'm not Danny Tanner, okay? I'm not Uncle Jesse. We're not going to come in here and the music's going to start playing and then we're all going to hug it out at the end. That's not real, right? That's not the reality of being a dad today. And she was laughing, so I was doing a good job, right? Maybe not, and we'll go back to that a little bit later. That was the idea, though, right? Like, Full House was a TV show where they would start the TV show. There would be some conflict that they had going on. And then by the end of the episode, they would come out and go, hey, we've solved this major issue in our lives, and we can now move forward with that. A few years ago, there was a teacher, and many of you might know his name. He's a pretty famous guy. His name's Craig Groeschel. He's been very influential. The way that he teaches, the way that he sees the word has been very influential in my life and my wife's life. And we've done a lot of study with what he does, and he introduced me to this idea of what a sitcom sermon is. And it was like that. It was like looking at Full House. There's you know, we're all here, and then there's going to be a conflict, and then at the end, we'll get to do that. And that's, honestly, you guys know, I like to be positive and bring energy and be excited, and I want to come to you today and be like, hey, here's this piece of scripture, and this is where we are in conflict with God on this piece of scripture. And on the backside of this, what we'll do is take these actions on this wonderful little sitcom sermon and move on. And today is not going to be that day. Today we are going to go through this, and we're going to see some conflict. We're going to see some problems. Then the problems are going to get a little worse. And then we're going to leave some, like, unresolved, to-be-continued issues on this, which used to be miserable, right? Like, we couldn't just stream all the episodes at once. It was like, that's coming out next Friday. What do I do till next Friday? Well, we're going to do that to you, because then we're going to come back next Sunday. And as Ben and I were talking this morning, he's preparing for next week already. I've got no promises for next Sunday either. It's not necessarily going to get a whole lot better. So, all right. We're here now. Everybody knows. I hope that you're feeling great about this and seeing that everyone's really excited. Today, we're going to go into scripture. If you want to start getting there in your Bibles, it's a real easy to pass up. We're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 1. We're going to read verse 1 all the way to chapter 2, verse 1. So Habakkuk chapter 1. You can start getting there, whether you're on your digital device or in your paper copy. I'm going to get there too on my Bible. Before I start reading into that, I just wanted to say there are some things like Habakkuk. I could be saying it wrong. It's okay. You guys get the idea, right? Like, I've heard a bunch of different sermons about this, and it could be Habakkuk, or there's probably some really great way to say it. I just don't know what it is. So I'm going to say Habakkuk. This is a very short part of your Bible. It's a minor prophet. There's just three chapters in this. We're going to discuss Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel in the early 600s BC is about when this looks like it's coming together. My translation today is going to talk about the Chaldeans or the Chaldeans, however you want to say that word. Your version today might say Babylonians. These are the same people. So if we say those are, you know, we can put those either way, Chaldeans, Babylonians, these are the same people, and not really the kind of people that we're going to be excited to see today. And Habakkuk, he does something different than the other minor prophets were doing, where they would come in and they would speak to people, or they would speak on behalf of the Lord to the people of Israel. He's actually going to, in the way that your Bible might say it, is like bring his complaints to the Lord. He's bringing the energy back to God and saying what he'll say as we go through the scripture here. So question to ponder as we go into that. Oh, one last thing. Habakkuk, that name does have some meaning to it. It means to embrace and to wrestle. Those are the two kind of words that kind of come with Habakkuk. So something to consider, that name, the meaning behind it, to embrace or to wrestle. The question to ponder as we get ready to go into this is, where do you turn when life doesn't seem to make sense, right? This is the title of the series, is When God Doesn't. So when the world around you doesn't seem right, doesn't seem to make sense, God, we know you are God and we love you and we trust you. It's a joy to be here today and talking about your word. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit would take control and flow out all of these things, that it would take control of the ears, that people would just know what it is that you would communicate with a book written a couple thousand years ago, speaking to your people, speaking to what's going to happen in these next steps. And this is hard for us to understand, and there will be some hard things. I pray for anybody in this room that as we go through this scripture, is feeling a little bit of that heaviness, that they would know that we can lean on you and we can trust you and we can ask for your help. God, we love you and we trust you and we thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read all the way through this. We've got 18 verses to read here. So here we go. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. God answers. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared, their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. The horsemen come galloping, the horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings, and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. Come back to Habakkuk. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring all of them up with a hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, things, their catch is large, and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved." Okay, we got a lot going on right here, right? So we're going to go ahead and just kind of step back, start breaking it down into the chunks of verses here. So if you flip back in your Bible to verses 2-4, let's go ahead and take this one apart a little bit. "How long, O Lord, will I call for your help and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted." Early on here, we see Habakkuk is feeling like he's left unread, right? I don't know if that's, I try to be, you know, sort of like trendy, that unread message, right? So like you got a message and they never read it. And I've actually heard that from somebody before, like, "You never read my text," right? This, I don't know how long, like at the very beginning, is, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help?" I don't know how long Habakkuk's been calling for help, but he's feeling like, "Hey God, I'm asking for something here. I want to talk to you. I need some understanding. And you're kind of leaving me unread. I'm not hearing back from you. Why won't you answer me?" He goes on, "Do you even see what's going on here? These people, your people, God, are sinning with no regard. Their idol worship, immorality, greed, hatred, and more are not how your people ought to behave. Do you hear me, Lord?" So we see where Habakkuk's at, right? We catch up and we go, okay, he sees what's going on. He looks at the people. It's not good. And so he's begging God for some clear understanding on this. Before we move past that, does any of that seem relevant today? If you're a believer in this room and you zoom out and look at the current state of affairs in the world, can you understand a little bit of where Habakkuk is at? This would typically be the spot where I would roll out like a marker board and I would ask for responses from you. So I'm not going to marker board it today, but like what might sound like, we went through and we looked at how this said here, they're worshiping idols, immorality, greed, hatred, all of these awful things are happening. Is there anything that you would say today when we look at our society that is like, man, I can't believe that this is happening today? Anybody? Yeah, like what? What would be an example? What jumps out to you? Yeah? What was yours? Over here? I heard the one about marriage. I'm sorry. Furries, right? Yeah, like this, things that seem not to maybe make sense, and what a mess. Does it happen? Like, whether or not, I mean, scripture is clearly stated that how God made men and women, and that is the thing. And that is now a confusing thing, right? And I could see Habakkuk going, God, what's going on here? Why would this, we have these issues with marriage and divorce and broken families and all these things. This is not how you would have your people act. We see impurity and awful things all the time. And it feels like that's what Habakkuk sees. He's looking at the people that God is supposed to. These are the Israelites. God, where are you at? What's going on here, right? Maybe more convicting to me is, do I care like Habakkuk cares, right? Like, do I look at what's going on in society and go, hey, this is unacceptable. This is not how things ought to be. And I'm going to stand against these things? Or do I just go, whatever. You know, that's their thing over there. Habakkuk's not like that. He's coming in and leaning into this thing, and he's lamenting about this society as it's continuing to devolve and fall apart. Here's where this piece of scripture gets really fun, is Habakkuk actually documents what God replies back to him in this. And so, again, I'm going to read verses 5-11, and we'll see how God replies in this situation. "Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. They are dreaded and feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. Their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping down to devour. All of them come for violence. They hoard. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. They mock at kings and rulers and are laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on, but they will be held guilty, they whose strength is their God. the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, they're coming and they're going to bring judgment. Now, this is where it starts to not make sense. If this was a sitcom sermon, we would come in here in this moment and be like, all right, Babylonians are coming. They're the big bad ones. They're coming. They're awful. We've learned some things about them. And guess what? Judah's going to unite. And when they unite, they'll all come together. They'll honor God and they'll have victory and we'll see it all. And we'll be like, man, praise God. Story over. Babylon's defeated. God's people are risen up. But that's not what God says here, right? God says they're going to bring judgment. These people are, the Babylonians, they are fierce, they're violent, they kill, they destroy, and they believe that their own might is their God. We have a clear view of who these people are. These are the bad guys. We're talking about the bad guys in this piece of scripture, and I just hope that we can see who these people are, because verse 5 is super helpful just to realize when he says, God replies, he goes, because I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to do something in your days that even if I told you, you wouldn't believe, right? I mean, I don't even need to go to the next set of verses yet, because before we look at Habakkuk's reply, I look at that and I go, God, that's not right. Like, look, these people were bad and he's bringing the bad and saying, hey, we need to solve this, but you're going to bring the badder, like the worst of this group, and have them come be the ones that deliver justice. They don't love you, God. They have no connection to you. They think that their own power, their own strength is what's bringing them power. It reminds me to look back at Isaiah 55 in verses 8 and 9, where God it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Habakkuk's getting an answer here. God's not silent, but he doesn't like it. So I wonder if that's true, ever been true for you. Have you ever had the moment where it was like, God, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm looking for something here. I'm asking for your guidance. And the answer isn't what you wanted. Or maybe you don't hear what the answer is. This is the reminder that God's going, I've got the big picture view that's different than your view, right? As we go to Habakkuk going to response now, we're going to go to verse 12, back on chapter 1, verse 12. We get Habakkuk's reply saying, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. This is super unique. All the research I could do into this, 4 or 5 places, this is the only spot where we see anyone really reply to God like this and talk to God like this, just to kind of like come up front and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. What's great here is that we see that Habakkuk, his history of knowing God, of loving God, and knowing what God's about, is what's causing this conflict of him just going like, God, I don't get it. This isn't you. Now, I trust you, I believe you, but I don't get it. This doesn't make sense to me, and I don't like it, right? So we go to verse 13. It says, on those who deal, verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wicked when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they. Verse 13, we see that they're so much more worse. They're so much more worse than Judah. Why would you use them for me here? Maybe nobody else. This one might just be for me. How often do I think like, hey, this isn't fair. I don't like that. God, I'm trying to do the things that I'm trying to honor you with my ways, and yet I seemingly see other people that are blessed that don't know about you, Lord, that don't care about you, that don't love you. That could just be a me thing. I don't know if anybody else has ever been here in that sort of situation, but it's as if I think in verse 13, on those who deal treacherously, like their sin is somehow worse than my sin, right? As if God's grace isn't enough for me just how it is and how God's plans are going to work out as exactly as they should. That gets, for me, that's a catch. Just going like, hey, where do I do this, right? Verses 14 through 17. Why have you made men like fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? The Chaldeans bring them all up with a hook. They drag them away with their net. And they gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing?" Habakkuk's telling God he doesn't already know. You know, God already told him that these are the bad guys, and they worship themselves, they worship their abilities, and they do whatever they want. And this is another spot to pause, because while I may not be sweeping across nations, I would hate to have to admit how many times I think, like, "Hey, God, I got this, right? Like, I can handle this thing. I don't need to trust you in every single thing that I do. I can, let me just handle this section over here." And maybe the question for you is, do you have any spots for you that you box God out? That it's like, "Hey, look, Sunday between 10 and 12, I got my God box, right? But outside of that, I can handle my life. I can handle work. I can handle my friends. I can do the other things I got to do. But in this, I just see somebody that's a little bit different, right? It's somebody that's going like their abilities. Maybe I'm not so different than these Chaldeans sometimes when I think, well, look what I've done, right? And so while we go through that, the Babylonians were not God-honoring people. We see in verse 11, back on verse 11, God say like, "Hey, he's going to deal with them, but right now is not going to be good." And that's where we got to make sure that we just recognize that God's plan is a little bit different than our plans. And so when we don't understand something, it might just be that that God's up to something else, right? I can give you today, it's not that positive, but I hope that you're ready for this part. So chapter 2, verse 1, "I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch and see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved." Habakkuk believes God will reply and is waiting on a response. He's listening for his father's direction and correction, and there's so much maturity in that, right? Like, in this, we see it walk through. He goes, like, "Hey, God, I'm just going to tell you, I don't like it. This doesn't make sense to me. But I believe that you're going to keep talking to me, keep telling me what's going on, and you'll correct me on the backside of this." I hope that I can have that sort of maturity. I hope that we have that sort of maturity to be like, "Hey, God, when things don't make sense and I want you to do something different," to understand that God, if we're in relationship with him, we can see God, what God's plans might be and how he's going to navigate things. My question is, where in our lives today do we need to listen in for the Lord? What might he be teaching us or guiding us through if we just ask him to wait and wait for an answer? Where do you turn when trials come and the world doesn't seem to make sense? Habakkuk knew and trusted God. He trusted the God who can use evil people, because that's the wild thing here, is like, these are evil, bad guys that don't love God, and God's going to use them to accomplish his purposes in this moment. Is that the sort of God that you trust? That's who Habakkuk trusts. A Greg Rochelle guy that I was talking about earlier wrote a book called Hope in the Dark when he preached through Habakkuk a bunch of years ago. And Christy and I actually led a Bible study. This is my shameless plug for what Amanda talked about earlier. Get into a Bible study. There's so much good in here to talk about and kind of pull through. There's no way that we would get through all this today, and it'll be like that for the next few weeks. If you're not already connected to a small group, get connected to a small group. You can see me, Ben, Jeremy, Cole, whoever, we'll get you into a small group. Be a part of a small group. But we were leading a group of people through a small group, and at that time, we didn't have anything crazy negative going on in our lives, but a few of the people in that group were really struggling through some deep valleys in their lives. And so we went through it, and it was impactful. It was a good thing. What we didn't know is how God was storing up that information in our hearts to protect us and help us through the deepest valleys of our lives. When the world doesn't make sense, and what people tend to do is default to their core beliefs. Habakkuk hears in a valley, and in this valley where he sees everything going wrong, he's told that it's going to get even the valley isn't even at its bottom yet, that it's going to get deeper, right? Habakkuk's default is to go back to God. For me, when I begged him to change it, but I wanted was not what was going to happen in this time. In this crisis of faith, the default became, "I don't get it. I don't understand it. I hate this." But you're God, and you're on the throne, and I trust you, right? Today, this is Cairo was judging me earlier when she saw that I pulled out this Bible. This Bible is a little rough, right? Amy and Donna have seen it before, a few other people. This Bible's a little rough, but it's like the first Bible I was ever given after becoming a believer. And so it got used a lot. And through the years, it's started to be tattered and it's fallen apart and it doesn't leave the house typically. I had to like really kind of glue some things together because otherwise, we might have missed like Proverbs today or something. It's rough, okay? But that's just it. Is in the moments where we've seen valleys that we thought couldn't get worse, and you are stuck, you have options of response, right? Like it's easy to praise God on the mountaintops. It's easy to go like, God, you are so good. For students in this room, maybe you've gone to like you were at a retreat and you come through and you have this big spiritual awakening. And you're like, God, you are so good. And then you get back to school or you get back home and the things that were plaguing you before were still there. And God just didn't fix everything just like that. And so you were brought into a valley and you have this option of, Do I really believe what this word says? Have I hidden this in my heart? Have I spent time with the Lord? Have I found that this is where truth is? Or do I turn and run and go another direction, right? With Habakkuk, we see him in the midst of really battling with God here, default to where he's been throughout his life, of following God and doing what it is that God might have him do. That was, talking about that Groeschel guy, that was a book called Hope in the Dark. If anybody in here is in a spot right now where it's like, hey, look, I'm really going through some things and could use some help on that, Hope in the Dark is a really, really good book. You can get it on your audio tunes, whatever you want to do with that, and listen to it. And it's valuable. We realized after, because for many of you, you know that when our deepest valley is one that we're still climbing out of, and what we found, and it took a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine from another place, questions, right? People want to know and want to know how to help you, and you couldn't do any of that. The only words that came out of your mouth over and over again is, we trust God, we love God, God is good, we know this. And that's all the default from that study. That's the default from years of being in Scripture. That's the default I pray that each of you have, because I promise, as like we're going to see in these next couple weeks, there are valleys. Sometimes valleys get deeper than you expected. There will be trouble in this life. Scripture is clear about that. And so you have to make sure that you are involved and engaged in Bible study, in prayer, personally and collectively. That's the spot that I beg you to go. Through years of that, God taught us not to walk away, that he's with us, that we could lean in and trust him. So I ask you, where do you find hope in hopeless times? Where do you turn? Are you storing up God's word in your heart? And when the world around us doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, do we turn toward our relationship with Jesus or run the other way? And that's it. This is a to be continued. We don't get to tie a bow on this. There's not the end of the story. Today is a to be continued moment. And as I told you, we'll find out more about Habakkuk's outcome as we go. Right now, he's waiting for the God to reply. He's waiting for correction. Will Kaylee ever get a tea party? Will I ever grow up? We don't know. It's all to be continued. In this moment, I'd like to pray, and then Amy will take over here in a moment. God, I thank you for the lessons in Habakkuk. It's so easy to flip by the scripture and miss how relevant it is today. God, I feel like Habakkuk sometimes, and when I hear stats like more than 60 million abortions in the last 50 years, God, in just the United States, or 40 or 50 million people, image bearers of the Lord, are enslaved by human trafficking. We see school shootings and broken homes and the greed and death and destruction, illness and loss. And God, personally, when I wonder why my son isn't in Kidstown right now learning about you and growing to be a man after your own heart, sometimes I don't get it. I need your help. I need you to help me understand. I pray that we would be a church that is always listening for your guidance in our lives. And when we don't understand, we embrace and wrestle with you like Habakkuk. I pray that we could recognize how Jesus came to save us and pay for the sin that we could never pay for. That Jesus went to the cross in the ultimate injustice, but went there in obedience and to rescue those who would follow him. God, we, we trust you, and we love you, and we know we need you. And when we don't pray, that you would give us the amount of understanding that we need. And if that is a no at this time and we're not going to find out what that is, let us have peace with that and know that you can use evil people to accomplish what your ultimate plan is. God, we read the end of the book. We know you win. And so we trust you and we love you and we're thankful for you. We pray this in your name. Amen.